Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Abortion extremists to ban abortion, to ban birth control, and to ban fertility care nationwide. Boo! Boo to that. And to that we say, abortion is health care, abortion saves lives, abortion always.
Abortion always? Really? That always? Dear Lord, that's a position that you're really, really should think again about. Abortion always. So like abortion as birth control. I mean, this is what you're arguing. Abortion is birth control. That's a thing. Then they go into a whole thing. This is in Idaho. They're of course supporters of abortion. Let's see if I've got it here.
Trans advocates in Idaho and five other states.
There's a big crowd there and outside.
I'm so excited to be here with you all today, standing up for basic values that we hold in Idaho and we hold across the country. Like, I don't know, pregnant people should be safe.
It's a basic value that we have in Idaho, like pregnant people should be safe. Not moms, not women, pregnant people. So first, you want abortion always, and then you want to claim that men can be women and have babies or something, or women can be men and These people don't stop, they don't rest, and they don't quit. It's madness. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. 833-468-8669. You want a great story about madness? I mean, I have plenty of news to get to, and I will, including some vetoes from the governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, especially about squatting, which I think is a political story this election season. In Minnesota, I should have called John Justice. Radio host out of Minnesota, John, great dude. Here's the story. You have a state senator who has been charged with first degree burglary. So the state senator, Nicole Mitchell, was arrested at this home of her, I think it was her stepmother, at about 4:45 in the morning. What it is that Senator Mitchell puts out as an excuse, and she put this out on I think it was on Facebook. Like so many families, mine is dealing with the pain of watching a loved one decline due to Alzheimer's and associated paranoia. Over the weekend, writes Senator Mitchell, I learned of medical information which caused me grave concern and prompted me to check on that family member. I entered a home I have come and gone from countless times in the past 20 years, where my son even once had his own room. Unfortunately, I startled this close relative. I startled this close relative, exacerbating paranoia, and I was accused of stealing, which I absolutely deny. This has been a true tragedy for our family. My hope is that it can return to being a private matter. Well, that would be a great story. Except this was 4:45 in the morning. You were found in black clothing and a black hat. But the best part of the story, as radio host John Justice explains out of Minnesota, was that she did not walk in through the front door at 4:45 in the morning. And therefore, it was earlier because that's when police arrived. No. You know, do you have a basement? Let's say you have a basement, but it's not a walkout basement. The vast majority of basements will have a very small window because you would need a place of, I think they'd call it egress, right? You need a way to get out if there was some kind of an emergency. There has to be some kind of window. But certainly you've seen a basement window, right? They're not tall standing. You're underground. They're these very narrow windows. Very small. Like, they take up two row of block, maybe that much. And they get put up top. That's the window she went through. Family member, Alzheimer's, seriously concerned, right? Dementia, whatever it is. You go to check on them at basically 4:30 in the morning, dressed in all black through a bedroom window. You get caught, you get arrested, and then you tell us that it's not what we think. You were just checking on a relative. We kind of know what happened.
What happened?
Well, what happened is she broke into the house and was trying to steal something. That's obviously what happened. Everybody knows that is what happened. I mean, let's break it down.
Now it's time for a breakdown.
Breakdown! Go ahead, give it to me. Breakdown, honey, take me through the night.
Sometimes there's no excuse for crazy. There's no explaining crazy. Sometimes people are just crazy. They're lost. And it doesn't matter the position that they hold, and it doesn't matter the things that could fall apart in their lives. The craziness takes hold. It takes control. And that is very obviously the case here based on the information that we have. She wasn't in her pajamas. That would have been something. If she was in her pajamas, she got this information late at night. She immediately went to check on a relative. She forgot to even change clothes. You know what we said? We would say, that's possible. But you were in black clothing and a black hat. There is only one reason to be in black clothing and a black hat. Well, two. One, you're a cartoon criminal. Or two, you're a real criminal who saw a couple of Home Alone movies and you said, that's the way to do it. I'm going to dress like Daniel Stern. You went through the basement window, which, by the way, she acknowledges, according to the Fox News reporting, in the criminal complaint. She acknowledges that she went through the basement window. As Bruce Springsteen taught us, windows are for cheaters, chimneys for the poor, closets are for hangers, winners use the door. Nobody goes through the basement window who isn't looking to not be seen. Absolutely no one. So with just a little bit of the basics, we know that this state senator clearly isn't okay. I assume that as she's breaking in, this is what was going through her head. You can visualize her skulking through the house. Now the only question for us is, what was she trying to steal? The story continues, telling investigators that she was trying to get her late father's ashes, photos, a flannel shirt, some other items of sentimental value that her stepmother refused to give her. Quote, I was just trying to get a couple of my dad's things because you wouldn't talk to me anymore. That's something Mitchell allegedly said to her stepmother as she was arrested. She also stated, quote, I know I did something bad. Full admission. Yet you go to her commentary on social media as posted by radio host John Justice, and she lies about everything. Is she supposed to be saved? Is her job supposed to be safe? When we say things and people say things like you never really know somebody, you really don't. And you really don't know the levels to which they will go and the depths of whether it's their despair or depression, depravity, or anything else. Sometimes you don't know what a person is capable of. But when you find out, what do you do? What will the Democrats do? Because she was caught red-handed. There is no other way to see it. Yet she's trying to tell people through her social media that, you know what? Yeah, it was just a medical emergency. It's fine. It's no big deal. The story's great. This story is nutty and great. Because some things are not defensible. You're supposed to look at her and say, yeah, you can't be a part of this organization anymore. You are a criminal. You're a thief. And we got to have a standard that we don't allow thieves in politics. Oh, it was funny as it was coming out. It was funny as I was saying it. I cannot wait to see what comes of this story. But then there's the Katie Hobbs story. Katie Hobbs, the governor of Arizona, just vetoed a bill about squatters. The legislation would have allowed law enforcement to remove suspected squatters in Arizona, and Katie Hobbs vetoed it. It was called Senate Bill 129. The squatter thing has become this huge thing across the country where you have these people taking possession of other people's homes or property, and somehow they have all the rights and the homeowner has no rights, but they have to keep paying the bills, and you're not allowed to shut off the water because that's unacceptable and that's cruel and unusual. So the squatter gets this free house and you end up paying all the bills. They could destroy the place and you get nothing. And if somehow you walk in there with seven friends and you take care of the problem, you go to jail. That's nutty. So Senate Bill 1129 would have permitted property owners to request help from law enforcement and to remove somebody they say is unlawfully occupying the home. So the police get the affidavit, they verify its author is the property owner, and they proceed with removing the unwanted occupant. Democrats oppose this. Why? It could be used by domestic abusers to exert economic control over victims. In the veto, she writes, this bill fails to leverage existing legal mechanisms, respect the due process rights of lawful tenants, and minimize unintended consequences, such as for victims of domestic violence. I haven't seen the legislation, but this certainly looks like a victory for squatters. And the people of Arizona should know that with Katie Hobbs, your property rights come into question. This is a political loser. You want to protect victims of domestic violence? You want to make sure you're getting the right person through due process? Absolutely. Absolutely you do. But you want to tell landowners they suffer and you want to make it tougher for them? That's weird. Landlord hate is totally weird. I make an investment. I'm allowed to profit off the investment. And here's the government saying, you're not even really allowed to have the investment if we say you don't have the investment. Political loser. Because everybody thinks they can buy a place, fix it up, rent it out, and get a part of the American dream. They think that that's a good way to economic growth, and they're not wrong. Until the government steps in and says, we don't care about your dreams. We don't care about your economic growth. Political loser. Keep it here. I'm Tony Katz. So in the legislation signed by President Biden that sends the money to Ukraine, to Israel, and to Taiwan without taking care of the southern border, you have the possible ending of TikTok. Tony Katz today. The legislation signed by President Biden puts TikTok on the clock, because one of the things put into the legislation was that it forces ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok, to divest. You have to find an American buyer. Now, the president can push back the deadline by an additional 90 days. So you could be about 15 months from now. But then there's the idea that ByteDance could sue. This would be the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And you know this is going to end up directly at the Supreme Court. The idea that can the federal government state that certain people are not allowed to own businesses in the United States? What I think is going to happen is actually the thing I want to happen. And I want you to follow me all the way through to the end. I believe that what will happen is that if brought to the Supreme Court would utilize the same mathematics that it did on Obamacare. The decision from the Chief Justice, John Roberts, on Obamacare was to determine that Obamacare in and of itself was a tax, and that Congress does indeed have the power to levy taxes, and Congress therefore has the power to remove the tax. So it is not for the Supreme Court to say this is unconstitutional, but rather it is for the people to correct. That was John Roberts' basic argument. Now, this argument is problematic because nobody was arguing that it was a tax. As a matter of fact, it was the Obama administration at the time who was vehement about the fact that it wasn't a tax. John Roberts had to find his way to it being a tax, just like the original court on Roe had to find its way to this idea that somehow abortion was a privacy rights issue, and therefore it was in the Constitution. I oppose, for example, the Obergefell decision. Obergefell is about same-sex marriage. I am not bothered by two men or two women spending their lives together. I'm bothered by the idea that a justice, in this case, I believe it was Stephen Breyer, could decide that a right exists in the Constitution and just come up with it out of whole cloth when it's not there. In both of those situations, Obergefell and with Obamacare, the argument's going to be, you can't go after a specific company with a specific piece of legislation. Pass legislation that says anybody associated with the Communist Chinese Party is not allowed to own businesses or land in the United States. That would be a law. And now we can go about discussing that because it applies to things prescribed. It's fleshed out. Now we can discuss whether or not Congress has the right to do that. And I believe that Congress should have the right to do that, that there are national security implications at play, that we do not have to let the enemies of America or rational thought or freedom, we do not have to allow them a foothold in the nation. So I'm in favor of the divestment of TikTok, but I don't think it's going to work this way. I think it's going to require Congress to sit down and say, here's the legislation, and then have it signed by the president, and that's it. You say to me, but Tony, isn't that what they did here? No, this is about singling out a specific company. Because now somebody's going to ask, is this going to now say to anybody who's connected to China, they can't own a business? Is this now a precedent? That's how I think it's going to play. Guys, I'm giving you an off-the-cuff there, a little bit of thought. I could be wrong. In the meantime, we're not going to see a sale for 2024. I very much doubt that. This is Tony Katz today. So let's put an end to this whole mass graves thing. Because that's all you're hearing people like Representative Ocasio-Cortez talk about when she isn't full out supporting the bigotry on the campuses of Columbia and a host of others. I mean, supportive. She's a terrible person. I've often talked about her policies being childlike. And then it was, of course, she became childlike. And now you can't imagine a more hateful person. This is what the ideology does. Why are you not a progressive? Why are you not in league with Ocasio-Cortez? Because you want a better life. That it's a very simple, simple equation. Tony Katz, Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. That is the number, 833-GOT-TONY. You had Nicholas Kristof over at the New York Times saying, he's reporting via a UN statement. Disturbing reports continue to emerge about mass graves in Gaza in which Palestinian victims were reportedly stripped naked with their hands tied, prompting renewed concerns about possible war crimes. Okay, you'd want to know what that is, and so would I, because I would in no way be in favor of such a thing. And here it is from the UN. Mass graves in Gaza show victims' hands were tied, says UN Rights Office. Well, the problem at the first, the immediate thing one should tell themselves is that this comes from the United Nations and the United Nations cannot be trusted. That is not to say that reporting is wrong. It is to say that the source of the reporting cannot, on its face, be trusted. The United Nations cannot be trusted. And the UNRWA, this relief works agency, which decides who's a refugee, a Palestinian refugee. Did you know that Bella Hadid's father, the model, the one who wrote the despicable letter to Congressman Richie Torres? Oh, anti-Semitic this, anti-Semitic that. He's considered a refugee under this this program, this UNRWA program. UNRWA is what they call it. Multi-millionaire, but he's considered a refugee under this program. They could just, you know, denote who they want or what is it whatever the thing is when they tell you. When they designate you a refugee. This organization had people supporting Hamas and possibly working on the October 7th attack. You know what they claim? No. See, this is Israel. They coerced the statement. Nah. Trusting the United Nations is not a smart idea, and history shows that they've never met a despot they don't love. So, absolutely, I take the reporter with a grain of salt. The story, I don't know, right? These bodies buried deep in the ground, covered with waste. This was near a hospital in Khan Yunis, well, what they call a hospital, who knows if it was. An actual hospital. 283 bodies recovered over two sites, and they've started identifying people. So that's the UN reporting. Nicholas Kristof, you know, follows this up. Representative Ocasio-Cortez gets into the picture. How are news outlets dedicating wall-to-wall coverage to campus protests, but not the discovery of mass graves in Gaza of people with their hands tied and clothing stripped? Why do we not know more? Where are the journalists and resources being dedicated to that story? Well, first, the campus protests are a clear example of not just anti-Semitism, but the evil of Marxism. One of the things, and I take a little bit of heat for this, for how I engage it, but I since it is the right way to engage it, I don't worry too much about the heat. Anti-Semitism is the entree in, right? It's how people get in the door. But what makes this different? You are seeing people now talk about this. What makes this different from the George Floyd riots? Marxists want to burn it all down. So they glom onto the thing that helps them burn it all down. They love the rioting. They love the damage. They want the destruction. What we see on college campuses, this is nothing new. What we see about the persuasion of students, the indoctrination of students from these professors, these radical bigoted ideologues, is nothing new. The fact that they're anti-Semites, well, yeah, all communists are anti-Semites. All Marxists are anti-Semites. So this is such an easy entree in for them to then get to the part that they want, which is, of course, the tearing down of Western civilization. So when the conversation comes up that it's about, hey, look at the anti-Semitism on college campuses, that is true. What we understand is that's only step one. There's a much greater thing going on here. And you say to me, isn't that giving short shrift to the anti-Semitism? That's where I take the heat. I do. I do. And they're like, Tony, you're Jewish. How could you? Don't get angry with me for noting exactly what's going on and being honest about it. I do not deny that these people want me dead. I simply find it irrational to not notice that they want you dead too, Christian, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, agnostic, atheist, whatever. This is what makes the people hold up the signs, queers for Palestine. So insane. Do you think you could live in Gaza under the rule of Hamas for a week? My father, for well over a decade now, has been a fan of these people should live under Sharia for a week. Sharia law for a week in America. Let's see how they do with it. Start with the suburban white women. Let's see how they handle Sharia for a week. Then we'll talk to the gay people and see how they handle Sharia for a week. I don't even want to get into how transgender is going to deal with the thing. All the free speech people who claim that they oppose hate speech, let's see how you do a Sharia for a week. It's a compelling argument for sure. So there's a reason to cover the campus protests because it's much bigger than just the Jew hate, which is, of course, the basis, but it's the entree into the subject. The basis is tearing down all of it. They want us gone. They really want to destroy the country. They hate the country. They hate capitalism. They hate all the things that create all the opportunities. This is who they are. So you have Ocasio-Cortez asking this question, why do we not know more? I think it's okay to ask, why do we not know more? But she wants to desperately move the conversation. This brings us to what the conversation is about, right? The discovery of mass graves in Gaza. Well, it turns out that's not the case. As the Times of Israel writes the story, evidence suggests Palestinian assertion of discovery of hundreds of bodies buried by the IDF is false, and that the bodies were previously buried there by the Palestinians themselves. The Israeli Defense Forces reject the allegation as baseless. Forces searching for Israeli hostages examined bodies previously buried by Palestinians near Nasser Hospital and returned the bodies to where they were buried after they were examined. And it has been documented that the Palestinians buried their dead at the hospital grounds both before and while Israeli troops operated in the area. It is an absolute lie that the Israelis did this. But the Israelis did find it and did check to see if their people were in these mass graves. So then the UN says, see, look what the Israelis did. Let us start where we started. Trusting the United Nations is not possible. And I am absolutely in favor of walking away from the organization. But I, as just a bit of a follow-up, I'm in favor of starting again. I think the idea is important. And this is an interesting barstool conversation, you, me, and a bourbon. I do think the idea is important, and I do think there is something to be said for keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. I think that's an extremely important thing to do. You want to know where these people are at. You want to know what they're doing, and sometimes you may want to have an avenue to walk up to somebody who you don't like and be like, hey, I hate you, but that guy over there is a problem for both of us. Can we discuss this? Like that, there's a value on a world stage to that. There cannot be a value to the United Nations taking our money and working against our best interest. There simply can be no value to this. So let us crush them and start again. And let us be more selective and more selective about who they send up. More selective about how that bureaucracy grows. Don't get me wrong. 70 years from now, you might need to do it again because bureaucracies grow. But this is doing us no good. We gain nothing from this. Why don't they go have UN meetings in Moscow? Now you say to me, but Tony, you're giving up this kind of prestige conversation if you were to give up the UN and it would be based in Moscow or Beijing. Yeah, I think we could do that. Now, it'd be a lot easier to do that if we actually had some moral authority and we were more focused on, let's say, getting American hostages back. But one thing at a time. The UN provides us no value. And the UN quite clearly in this conversation was not engaged in a level of honesty. It is clear that the Israelis did not go about mass murder. So now let's take the words of Representative Ocasio-Cortez to heart. Why don't we know more? Why is it that outlets are dedicated wall-to-wall coverage to campus protests, but not to the discovery of mass graves in Gaza of people with their hands tied and clothing stripped? Now we realize that Representative Ocasio-Cortez, in an accidental way, is asking the right question. How about we explain to all these college campus losers, bigots, and commies, but that's enough about Ilhan Omar's daughter. Why don't we explain to them, look at is that Hamas does. Look at how they treat the Palestinians. You want Hamas to be in charge? What are you, insane? You lived in Gaza, that would be you, in the mass grave, naked and tied. That's who they are. That's who you're supporting. I think that should be the conversation. So good on Representative Ocasio-Cortez for asking the right question. That's right. You are agreeing with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Ew, David.
Hey, all that's happening is that you are agreeing with AOC herself.
Oh, God!
Not my fault. Not my problem. You and Ocasio-Cortez are one and the same with your thoughts. And I know you're bothered by it.
Oh, poor you.
But trust me when I say it's only accidental. Because she's accidentally asking a worthy question. Just in the wrong way. She wants to defend these bigots on college campuses. And I think we should take her question and answer it. And show these bigots what it is they really support. And it won't just be in Gaza if those people get their way. I'm Tony Katz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you to our witnesses for being here. As policymakers, we have a responsibility to weigh our words carefully, especially during discussions like the one that we're having here today. The Chinese Communist Party has adopted Russian propaganda efforts to interfere in our elections and advance its own objectives. We should address that issue seriously, and we can and must do so without stigmatizing and discriminating against people based on their identities. Racial slurs are not a national security strategy. They do nothing to help counter the threat posed by the CCP. Mr. Madison, a June 2023 tweet.
Can we just stop for a second with Representative Ayanna Pressley there? House Oversight Committee, a hearing on the Chinese Communist Party's political warfare is going on. Me, I'm Tony Katz. The show is Tony Katz Today. The phone number is 833-468-8669, 833-GOT-TONY. You can email me, tony@tonykatz.com, or on X or Instagram at Tony Katz. What in the world is she referring to? You can't be name-calling, even though the CCP is a threat. So she's asking this question here of Mr. Mattis.
Mattis, in a June 2023 tweet, you wrote that equating the Chinese Communist Party to Chinese culture is, quote, racist by any other name, end quote. I agree. Distinguishing between a political party and an entire race of people and its culture is important. And we have the moral responsibility to make that clear, yet it's lost on some. Mr. Mattis, what is the harm in equating China's ruling party, the Chinese Communist Party, with all people of Chinese descent?
Well, I can answer that question. I mean, because it's not the same thing. There are plenty of people in China who don't want any part of the Chinese Communist Party, just like there are plenty of people who didn't want any part of Mao's Cultural Revolution. Well, they got the dunce cap and then got killed in what were called struggle sessions. There are plenty of people who don't want that. But I must ask the question, who exactly are we referring to here? Ayanna Pressley wants to say that Asian Americans have seen an increase in discrimination and race-based violence since the start of the pandemic. Your objection was saying that China is responsible for COVID. It's okay to call it the China virus. We called it the Spanish flu. That's not bigotry. Oh, you silly, silly child. But let's look at it another way. This is a good opportunity to observe how something works. Here you have an honest conversation about China virus or Wuhan virus. And the left takes it and says, you see, you're a bigot. Because it allows them to have some level of moral superiority. There was nothing wrong when Trump said it. There's nothing wrong with saying it now. That is not an attack on the people of China. It never has been. But maybe I should just be thankful that I've got a member of the squad who understands that the CCP is an issue, which is weird because they support communism in the country. You'd think she'd be more supportive of her comrades. Shocking, I tell you. Shocking. Keep it here. I've got more to get to. This is Tony Katz Today.